This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another edition of the Niner Noise Podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. My name is Robert Morrison. I'm a contributor at NinerNoise.com, and here with me is just me. my own self, me, myself, and I. As we look to recap and review and all good things related to the 49ers 34-26, just a crazy game at Levi's Stadium this afternoon, a win over the Minnesota Vikings, catapulting the Niners to 6-5 and into the sixth spot in the NFC playoff race. And of course, the other late game event, or game, I should say, in the afternoon today was the Packers taking down the Rams, which means the Niners are now just a game behind the Los Angeles Rams, who a couple of weeks ago looked like one of the best teams in the league and now are down to just 7-4 since the Niners took them down a couple of weeks ago. Niners are three wins on the bump and the skid, so to speak. And the Rams are going the other direction, which means the Niners are in prime position to maybe even get as high as the fifth seed. The 1, 2, 3, 4 seeds are not out of the realm of possibility, but probably not very likely in terms of where they could finish with the season over before the football season ends. But really, frankly, given where this team was, you know, not too many weeks ago, it seems it's crazy to think that they're even in they're in that position to make a run where didn't seem like they would be. Like, this is a team we were already starting to have that conversation about, okay, you know, where are they going to finish? You know, where's that playoff spot that they don't have, first pick that they don't have, where is it going to be? That whole thing, you know, when's the time to get the rookies in, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, now this is a team that is on a trajectory to possibly win as many as 10 games, could still conceivably run the table. And I'm not saying they're going to, but it's then if they keep playing like this, they're going to be able to beat anybody that they want to play. You know, they beat this Rams team that's very good. They beat a Vikings team that's I think better than their 5-6 record suggests. They've played in a lot of close games. They've lost games that they probably could have won. This could very easily be a team that has won, 7-8 games, something like that. 9 games, even if you want to get too crazy with it. But the Niners struggled at times. It started off a little rough. They fell down. They fell behind 7-0 after a 3-0 after holding the Vikings to a 3-and-out, and then immediately gave the ball away, led to Minnesota's touchdown. Minnesota was up 14-7 in the second quarter. And the Niners felt like they were trying to figure out what they were going to do. And then they managed to hold the ball for the rest of the first half, tied the game up at 14, and then went on to break the game open a little bit, scored on the next drive with the first drive of the third quarter to run it to 21-14, then got a fumble recovery on, I believe, the very next play, and then ended up scoring a couple of plays later, or actually on the very next play with that. So they scored, you know, three times inside of three drives. I think it was all inside of those three touchdowns came within, you know, within like 4 minutes of game time to run up and put themselves up 28-14 at that particular point. The Vikings did fight back and made a game of it, got it down to, I think the closest they were at any point was 26-31. Niners, you know, did what they needed to do. They added a couple of late field goals, although they did miss one at the end of, towards the end of the game with just under 2 minutes left to go. That could have iced it. Niners defense ended up doing what they needed to do to finish the game, but it was more nerve wracking than I would have liked it to be. But given the fact that these are two pretty evenly matched teams in a lot of ways, it's not terribly surprising that that's the way that it went. Couple of players to call out. First of all, want to, you know, give a shout out to Deebo Samuel, who was great again on this game, he ran the ball six times, 66 yards, had two touchdowns on the ground, also had just one catch for 12 yards, finally got over that hump, but he did become the first 49er since Anquan Boldin to have 1,000 yards, wide receiver, I should say, to have 1,000 yards of receiving in a season. Obviously, George Kittle has done it a couple of times. Brandon Ayuk also had a very effective game as a receiver, three catches, 91 yards. Juwan Jennings, a couple of catches, 24, including a touchdown in the game. Elijah Mitchell, 27 carries, 133 yards, almost 5 yards a carry and a touchdown as well. Niners ended up running the ball 39 times, not quite to 40, that magic number 40 that they've been getting to over the last couple of seasons or a couple of games in route to the victories, but 39 carries, 208 yards, 5.3 yards per carry, including three touchdowns on the ground. And that will usually get the job done. I mean, the Vikings did well offensively as well. Kirk Cousins had a pretty decent game, 20 for 32, 238 yards. Did throw a couple of touchdowns, both in the first quarter to Adam Thielen. But he did throw an important interception, Aziz Alshire, who has played well in the absence of Dre Greenlaw, who came back but immediately left the field, unfortunately, with that groin injury sometime, I think, in the second or third quarter. But Aziz Alshire has played well in his stead. Had an interception, almost returned it for a touchdown, leading to another touchdown for the 49ers offense. But Cousins was good, but not great. Vikings running game never really got going, just carried the ball 18 times for 67 yards. They just didn't run that many plays. They only had 33 pass attempts and one sack, so, you know, 34 total pass plays and then 18 total run plays, so not that many plays in total for the Vikings, as opposed to the Niners, who ran, let's see, 20 Garoppolo had 26 pass attempts and two sacks, so 28 plus 39 rushes. So that gives you an idea of how effective and how the balance was. And just like has been the case for the last couple of weeks, the Niners controlled the time possession. They didn't have a massive, you know, 11, 12, 13 minute drive this time, but overall they just did a better job of controlling the game. They got a couple of turnovers, covered a fumble. Aziz Alshire got recovered a fumble and had the interception. He had a great game by and large, in terms of his doing his job both in coverage and you know, pretty good elsewhere on the field as well. Had a couple of plays you'd like back from him, but by and large, a good game from him. Let's see, other names to mention. Kevin Givens had a strong game as an interior player. He forced the fumble on Dalvin Cook that Alshire, he recovered and led to another touchdown for the offense. You know, the defense wasn't their best output for in many ways. You know, there were a lot of plays left on the field. They had a couple of the issues that have come back to bite them a little bit. A couple of pass interference penalties, specifically on Josh Norman. Both of the touchdowns from Cousins to Adam Thielen, who is had a really good first quarter and first half, and then just kind of disappeared in the second half. Both touchdowns were kind of avoidable situations for sure, especially the second, where the broken coverage was very obvious, and rookie safety Noah Hufanga kind of got lost in the back end. I don't really know what happened in there. But, you know, the Niners showed a lot today. I think one of the biggest things that they showed to me, the last couple of weeks, they've, in those victories over the Rams and over the Jags, they were able to jump out early. They were the first team to score. They had long drives at the beginning. With Jacksonville, they had the benefit of being very obviously the better team. In this particular case, not necessarily the case with the Vikings, and it certainly wasn't with the Rams heading into that game, but they kind of got punched in the mouth a little bit today. Didn't look great in the first half. Jimmy Garoppolo got off to a pretty bad start, had some very high passes, wasn't on target very frequently. His interception was particularly bad, kind of got baited into it by Harrison Smith, the Vikings safety, who's good and played well today. But it certainly was an interception that Garoppolo needed not to make. And he wasn't perfect, and his numbers are going to make it look a little bit shinier than it was. 17-26, 230. Touchdown and the aforementioned interception. But, you know, he did what he needed to do, and he kind of grew into the game a little bit. And it was pretty obvious that Kyle Shanahan knew how important this game was. There was a clip from the game of right after the interception of him just giving Jimmy the earful, you know, probably just reminding him, like, this is important. Like, you can't be having that kind of play from the quarterback. We can't have that. And, you know, he did manage to do better throughout the game, but certainly not his best game. And of this, you know, this winning streak that we're on now, certainly the worst of the games that he's played so far, even if the numbers don't necessarily reflect that. But this game was really about the run game and Elijah Mitchell specifically, and Deebo Samuel specifically as well, their ability to play in that run game. And the Niners managed to keep the turnover battle in their favor, even though in this particular case it was 2-1. And they had a little bit of a rough time on special teams as well. Kenny Wongawu, I hope I'm saying that correctly, is a kick returner and running back for the Vikings. Had four kickoff returns for 171 yards. Now that's a little misleading, because 99 came on one that he had for a touchdown. So if you erase the special teams situations like that, and then also the interception, the short drive that came on the interception from Garoppolo early in the game, the Niners are in a little bit more control. So things that can be cleaned up, you know, better tackling on special teams, for example, Garoppolo not making errors like that. And instead of it being 34-26, it's, you know, 34-13, something like that. And it looks more like a blowout in that particular case. So certainly things to clean up. But I think it's pretty clear this Niners team can play with most teams in the NFC. Now, it's very concerning, of course, that they're unlikely to get to the one seed, for example, because Arizona would have to completely fall apart and probably not win any more games for the rest of the season. They're 9-2 at this particular point, so they have to somehow fall to, you know, 9-8 or whatever it is, in order for the Niners to jump over them, because even a tie, even if Arizona won one more game for the rest of the season and the Niners and the Cardinals both finish at 10-7, the unfortunate situation is that the sweep that the Cardinals have on them is going to put them in that bad spot. So that probably is going to be difficult, and also more than likely there's a team like the Packers maybe back in Tampa Bay and all that kind of, and those teams are more likely to get into those top seeds rather than the Niners. But as I said, there are a lot of other opportunities anywhere from, you know, if anywhere in that 5-7 range is pretty wide open. Unfortunately, that's as far as they can get, because unless they win the division, which, you know, is not outside of the realm of possibility, but probably unlikely. It just really makes losing to Colt McCoy that much worse, right? Because if they'd beaten Colt McCoy, then at least the Cardinals wouldn't have that on them, which would be particularly useful right now, aside from the fact that they would now be 7-4, and actually technically in second place in the NFC West, as opposed to in third place, just a game behind the Rams, because they'd have identical records and the Niners would have the head-to-head. So I don't know. I don't know. It's going to be very interesting to see how this is going to work. I think this is a good test for the Niners. I think they showed that they're a team that can be a tough out, especially if they can play the way that they want to play. And you know, I know that's true for all teams, right? All teams want to play that they want to play. But some teams are more flexible than others. And I think it's safe to say that we know at this particular juncture, the Niners are better suited to play the game that they want to play. Now, they showed a little bit of resilience in this game. They didn't fall so far behind that they weren't able to maintain their game plan. That's what happened to them against the Cardinals, for example, this last time out. They fell so far behind that they had to get out of what their comfort zone was. And that's, again, true of any team in the NFL. But I think the Niners are definitely more susceptible to that than others. And so they're going to need to continue to run the ball successfully. They're going to continue to need to pick their spots to throw the ball. And who knows? At this point, if the season ended today, I believe they would travel to Tampa Bay to play Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which would be an interesting test for sure. But they can still get, again, as high as a fifth seed. And they've definitely put themselves in a situation with Seattle coming up next week in Seattle. And then they travel to Cincinnati. They have Atlanta at home, Tennessee on the road, Houston at home, and then the Rams to finish things out. Again, they got six games left at this particular point. And I think if they can, 9 wins might do it, depending on who they lose to. You know, losing to Tennessee is probably not the worst thing in the world. Losing to one of the AFC South teams that they have left, so, you know, Tennessee, Houston, is probably not the worst thing in the world. Losing to Atlanta and putting their conference record in jeopardy, losing to Seattle next week, for example, would be a worse loss. There are, of these remaining six games, there are certainly better losses than others. But, you know, Tennessee lost again today, second game in a row, to the Patriots, who are good again, so go figure. Cincinnati is going to be a tough one, traveling to Ohio, another early kickoff against Cincinnati team that has been really good at times. They just smashed the Steelers today. But they've also had some stinkers, and so you just never know which version of Cincinnati, the Bengals, is going to show up. Very similar team, actually, to this Vikings team in a lot of ways, in terms of they got some playmakers. They got a good young quarterback in their case, as opposed to Cousins, who's been around for a while. But some similarities there. I think Joe Burrow is a more talented quarterback than Kirk Cousins is, by and large. But I think that's a winnable game as well, but certainly would be one that if you lose, you're kind of like, okay, like that's fine. It's not great, but it's doable. But 9 wins is the floor as far as if they want to get into the playoffs at this point, which means they could win, they could lose. They only have to win 50% of the rest of their games. But I think more than likely they need to get 4 more wins. They need to get to 10. Double digits will almost certainly get them in. And if they can somehow shake off an 11, if they can somehow finish, you know, 11-6, or God forbid, who knows, run the table and finish 12-5, that would be pretty incredible and might even possibly get them into, certainly if they finish 12-5, then that means they beat the Rams one more time, which means they'll swept them, which means they'll probably finish in second in the division, which means they'll probably get the fifth seed, which would probably mean at this point they travel to whoever wins the NFC East, more than likely, probably the Cowboys, and then or possibly the Saints, depending on how that shakes out. But look again, as I said, if you had told me a couple of weeks ago that we were going to be talking about how this team had a chance to not only make the playoffs but also is looking like they could make some noise and really make a little run in the playoffs against, if they get the a matchup that works in their favor, I would have told you you're crazy. You know, heading into that Rams game, nothing was looking good. 3-5, and you're like, man, this team is probably just not very good. You know, Peter said it on that episode heading into that Rams game. Maybe this team is not very good. Maybe that's just the way it is. It doesn't seem that like that's the case anymore. I don't know. But it's certainly exciting to feel invested in the team again a little bit. You don't have to write the season off anymore. Of course, you know, a lot of things could happen, but it doesn't feel like that's the way to consider it at this particular juncture. Now, you could make all the things you want about, you know, what impact this has on the long-term future of, you know, Trey Lance or anything like that. But and that matters, certainly. Reports, for some reason, a report came out this morning heading into the game that the Niners were going to be trying to trade Jimmy Garoppolo after this season, heading into next season, which, first of all, was like, well, yeah, duh, of course they are going to do that. That's one of the benefits of him playing well right now, and there's a lot of quarterback-needing teams in what is generally considered a kind of weak quarterback draft class. But, you know, that being said, Russell Wilson's still potentially going to be disgruntled after this rough season in Seattle. Aaron Rodgers' situation in Green Bay, especially if they don't win a Super Bowl this season, is, you know, problematic for sure. So there's going to be some quarterbacking options available, but then those teams might need new players. Who knows? I don't know. It's going to be an interesting to see how that outcome plays. But for now, I'm just jumping on the ride. Three wins in a row, I should say. And that's super important to be able to look at that and just keep riding it. That's all I got to say. Of course, some injury concerns. Mentioned Dre Greenlaw went out with an injury, did not return. We'll see. Hopefully that's not a flare-up of the muscle injury that he had that has kept him out of most of the season. Fred Warner went out with a hamstring injury. I don't remember quite when it was because the announcers never mentioned it until like the fourth quarter. And then they flashed a graphic that's like, he's out. And I was like, I know that because I've been following the game on Twitter for the last, half of the game and he hasn't been out there. So, you know, pay attention better, guys. Deebo Samuel went out, I think it was early in the fourth, end of the third, with what they're calling a groin injury. Trey Sermon went out, pretty early in the game with an ankle injury. They had to cart him off the field. I believe, based on Kyle Shanahan's post-game press conference, he's more optimistic about Warner and Samuel, which is obviously very important because, no disrespect to Trey Sermon, but they have played much, much, much bigger roles for the 49ers this year. And while Trey Sermon may be a massive part of this team heading into 2022, and it's him and Elijah Mitchell looking to be the main bell cows as at the running back position, for right now, missing Samuel and Warner for any period of time would certainly be problematic. So hopefully both of those guys are all right. MRI is scheduled for tomorrow, I believe, to check on those. So, hoping for the best for those guys as we head into Seattle week, Seahawks week. Of course, it is no longer on Sunday Night Football. For once, it's not the Niners' problem. Last couple of years, we've seen them flexed out of Sunday Night Football a couple of times due to their poor record. But this time, it's because of Seattle. They're 3-7, and they haven't truly been very competitive over the last couple of weeks. And I think the NFL just decided, because they're playing Monday night this week against the Washington Football Team, and I think they just decided 2 weeks in a row if Seattle is probably not what you want. So Niners will play, I believe, in Seattle 4:25 Eastern time next week. So we'll be talking about that hopefully here later in the week. But until then, thanks for listening to this episode of the Niner Noise Podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. As always, please check out ninernoise.com for all your latest 49ers news and analysis. And be sure to rate and subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. If you leave us a review and include a question, we'll give you a shout out on air and answer your question. And of course, please, please, please share the podcast with all your fellow 49er fan friends. So until next time, let's sound the horn, 49ers.